Welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and it is show number 244. Welcome to the show, live here on Facebook, proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, or wherever you are taking in your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, so many other venues and avenues. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting Education, Leadership, and Beyond. Give us a like, write us a review. Those things all help. I do want to give a shout out to my friends in Oregon. We are going to meet Jen Schultz here in just a few minutes. She's our guest today. She is, Jen, this is a cool title, Student Services Director and Community Health Liaison for the Lakeview Honkers. Let me move this microphone out of the way. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Dean Schultz for giving me this sweatshirt. A shout out to the Honkers. And I also want to give a shout out to all my friends in Oregon. Look at this. I bought this the last time I was there. And I'm going to ask Jen Schultz about that. How does she feel? And if you're listening, not watching this, it's a postcard from Oregon with a picture of a beautiful bird that says she flies with her own wings. That is their state motto, and so many of the wonderful people I've met in Oregon display that. Jen is one of those people. So, Jen, we're going to talk about that. That's not on the question list. But one of the questions is, I did give Jen some homework when I met her a long time now. I don't know, 18 months. Jen was one of the people that I challenged to read the first chapter of this book, How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling by Frank Becker. Again, if you're listening, the name of that book is How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. And it sounds a little crazy, but I asked my friend Jen. She came up. She volunteered. She came up. I said, it's a little crazy, and she came up. And I asked her to read just the first chapter 30 days in a row. Right? I believe in habits. I believe in a little bit, a lot of the time. And if you think about a strong cord, right, each little thread rolling each day, building up, it becomes a strong cord. And those stories are about enthusiasm. That first chapter was about having energy and enthusiasm. And if you know me, those are things that I thrive on, and those are things that I try to impart upon my audience and that kind of stuff. So I'm curious to hear from Jen about, you know, how that worked for her. And she wrote a blog that we pushed out there. And so we're going to hear from that. So I do believe you can create energy. And we're going to ask that. If you're watching the show live, jump in, introduce yourself, leave a question or comment, say hello to Jen. And enough of me talking. Let's bring her in the show. She's the star of the show tonight. Jen Schultz from Oregon, Lakeview, Oregon. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
This is Jen Schultz, everybody, from Lakeview, Oregon. Jen, where's originally from home? Are you originally from Oregon?
Well, I was born in Salem, yeah. But my dad was a Marine, so I traveled the world. I've lived everywhere.
Everywhere is home.
Yeah. I moved 23 times in 17 years when I was growing up. Yeah. I know how to register.
Yeah.
I know how to make
friends. This is Jen Schultz, again, educator, leader, and currently the Director of Student Services and Community Health Liaison for the Lakeview School District. Is it just Southern Oregon? Is it Southern Eastern Oregon, Southern Western Oregon? It's kind of right in the middle, south, correct? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Oregon's kind of in a square like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some stuff at the top, but we're right there.
Right in the middle. Yeah.
Right in the middle at the bottom, about 17 miles from the border of California.
Wow.
We're the tallest town in Oregon, Andrew.
I did not know that.
Highest elevation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, Jen, I talked a little bit about your homework assignment here, and you know, you did that. Tell us a little bit about what that journey was like. Were you like, this is crazy that I got to read this chapter every day? How did you feel going into the assignment?
So I'm like an Enneagram 1 with a wing 9. So connection is like really important to me. And any way that I can connect with people, you're frozen. Am I okay still?
Oh, I can hear you.
Okay, good. We have super bad internet in Lakeview, so I often wonder if I'm just like on the screen.
You're with me.
Okay, good. So anyway, connection is really, really important. And I think when you asked that question at that conference, I was like so excited, like, oh yeah, give me all the skills and tools I can get to connect with people. So the other thing about me is I love challenges, and I particularly like to find weaknesses in myself and then challenge myself to do something about that. Mm. And I am also a worrier, so I think about the future and what skills I might need later on when it's harder to build them. So you picked the right person for that challenge. And I think we went to dinner that night, remember that really cool restaurant? And you said, are you really going to do it? And I was like, well, of course I'm going to do it. So I did. And I think I've forgotten your question already.
So tell me what it was like. What was the homework assignment like going into it? And then the second part is, you know, what did you learn afterwards? Did it work? Did it indeed build energy and enthusiasm in you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But also, you know, when someone is already like burning, it's, you just have to blow a little bit on them and they just ignite. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think in this area, it's just something that I love. I love to be excited. I love to be energetic. I love to pull people into that as well. So it was awesome. But, first of all, the book, the very first chapter is about baseball, and that is my favorite sport. So that was awesome. That worked out really well for me. And then, you know, it was about a man who was being self-reflective and always trying to better himself. And that is also something that I like to do. So I connected with that. As far as reading, that is one of my favorite things to do. I didn't learn to read till I was in the sixth grade. So now that I know how to do it, I like to do it a lot. And my dad used to always like push us to just find ways to be better people. And so this was another one of those opportunities. So I actually read it, the chapter, 39 times. And I think, if I don't remember over how many days, but I like to follow rules. And you had said read it every single day. And there were 2 days in there where I wasn't able to read it, which is minor, but for me, it was huge. And so I read it twice the next day, and they weren't any fault of my own. One time we just didn't get back home before so I could read it before that day was over. And another time was a time zone change thing. And I'm not 100% sure that I didn't read it in the same day, but of course I would worry about that. So anyway, and then once the 30 days was over, I didn't want to lose the momentum that I had going. And I also didn't want to lose the ideas that I had. So I kept reading it until I got a chance to write you that essay. So, that's how it went for me. It was good. It totally met my personality. So that was excellent.
And Jen, so for people that don't know what it was about, give us a real brief summary. And then what were your takeaways from doing this 39 times, right? Repeating this exercise, learning about energy and enthusiasm. What are some takeaways for our audience who hasn't read it?
Okay. So I don't have the book with me anymore because it's at my house in Amity, not my house in Lakeview. And that's about 350 miles away. But I know it's kind of a long ways. So basically, Becker was in, what's before, was it minor leagues or what's before minor leagues?
He was in the minor leagues.
And this was back east, and this was quite a while ago. But anyway, he was on a team and he had like some really high anxiety and high nerves. And so he thought if he could use this like persona of chill on the field, that would calm him down and keep his anxiety low and allow him to play baseball better, which actually, you know, is a pretty good thought when we think about brain trauma and whatever that, all of that. But what happened was his coach, he didn't like it because he felt like he was just an old baseball player, just playing baseball so long. And he had this attitude of just real nonchalance. So anyway, he fires him essentially. And Becker goes in and asks, why did you fire me? And the guy says, well, you know, you just don't seem to have that much enthusiasm and you don't really care. And so he explained to him why he had this chill attitude. And the guy's like, yeah, didn't really work very well for you. And he let him go. So then he gets hired on at another baseball league with way less money, making way less money. And he decides he's going to be the most enthusiastic person on that field. So he heads out and he's absolutely over the top enthusiastic. In fact, he ended up getting like the what is that? when people call you something like a nickname or something like that. But anyway, he gets that. And that he's the most enthusiastic player. And he ends up moving himself back up the ranks and takes a dead team, makes it an amazing team, and brings himself out of that. And like 300%, I think is what it was, he increased his salary over 300% in baseball. So then he gets injured. And I think it was a sidearm throw that he did. But anyway, he gets injured and he can't play baseball anymore. And so a friend of him hooks him up in a sales business and he absolutely stinks at it. He's horrible at it. And so he goes into this reflective mode and decides, you know what? I'm going to use all the things that I learned from baseball in this job. And he just started being the most enthusiastic seller that he could. And again, he just kept climbing up the ladder. He talks about how people who have a lot of knowledge, if they're not enthusiastic, it doesn't really matter. Whereas people who are enthusiastic and excited, they can have a minimal amount of knowledge and do extraordinary, retire early and stuff like that. So essentially that was the chapter.
Bam. Jen Schultz did her homework. And she didn't need a lot of help with energy and enthusiasm, but I appreciate you doing that, Jen. And Jen, I think the whole state of Oregon is watching live now. So if you are watching, give us a shout out and say hello. My friend Larry Dake, superintendent here in New York, is watching. Larry, good to see you.
Hi, Larry.
I appreciate you having your eyes open tonight for me, Larry. Jen, tell us, what are you doing in this role, right? This is a cool title. Director of Student Services, Community Health Liaison. Tell me about what you're doing there directly in my friends there in Lakeview.
I think I'm like the cleanup hitter. I've just got all this stuff that maybe has been overlooked for a little while. So sure. I'm Student Services and then Community Health Liaison. So our district is got a really great grant, Strengthening Mental Health and Education, and that's a primarily what I do. That's a lot of what I do. It's kind of like an umbrella. If I was in my office, I'd flip my camera up and show you my umbrella that I literally have over my desk to remind me like what covers my work. But anyway, so I also handle McKinney-Vento, which is the homeless liaison, foster care, talented and gifted, strengthening mental health and education. I'm the principal of the online academy, and I wrote the grant for preschool, and I am the director of the preschool and KCC, which is our community college. I'm also in charge of kind of that. And then we also in my office do all the state reporting and state testing.
Wow.
So that's kind of all under what I do. And then yeah. I have some people. I'll give a shout out to my three peeps. So Carly Schaefer is my secretary, an amazing right-hand woman, and she's really great at sticking sticky notes on my computer at just the perfect time for me. And then Joel is a community care specialist for our strengthening mental health and education. So I'm a community care specialist and a community care coordinator because we're very frontier, so you do a lot of jobs. And Joel helps me just connect with families in the community. We our goal and our role really is to be somebody different in the school that families can come to. We can help them navigate the school system and find the help that they need. We go with kids to talk to teachers. We talk with kids. We connect them to mental health resources. We connect families with resources in the community. And Joel helps me do that. And then Tara Counts is she's a TOSA teacher on special assignment, and she's amazing. She is so amazing. She manages all the state testing and a lot of our state reporting and stuff. So it's kind of a big job. As you know, everywhere we're all hurting and we all are tired, and people like me and like student services really, I don't know, maybe I'm the tech person that you call when you just need to navigate the school, maybe. So.
Wow. Jeremy Hutchinson says you're amazing, and certainly want to give a shout out to Tandlin. Tan, good to see you.
Oh, Tandy.
Yeah.
She's my person.
A lot of stuff you're doing there. Tell me about some of the leadership skills that you bring to the table. What would you say are two or three, you know, skill set items that you are just maximizing during your day?
Service leadership is a huge one. Every day it's literally what I do. If I'm not willing to do it, I can't expect other people to do it. So For example, we have this card lock system on our all of our doors, and we have classes in multiple buildings. And so sometimes kids will just come to student services because they know somebody there will walk them over to the other building and let them in. And that's important. And during that space from my office to that other building to let them in, I can build a relationship. I can, you know, get to know them a little bit better and make a connection that oftentimes pays off later. Whatever, you know, gosh, another leadership skill I use. I ask people all the time, what can I do to support you better? What can I do to support you better? And oftentimes people don't readily have an answer, but the invitation is out there. And so then they can come back and respond to me later. Another one that I, instead of, right now, education is hard. You know, you're in it every single day. And sometimes the reactions that we get from parents or kids or even from staff is so out there and we just don't know what to do with it. And I've switched my thinking, thanks to Oprah and them, from what is wrong with you to what happened to you. And that just, I mean, you don't even say it out loud. You don't have to say it out loud, but just changing that framework and knowing that, knowing what happened to me and what my life was like growing up and what it's been, you know, these past 50 years, I can just sit in a space with someone so much easier now. And I can take whatever they throw at me because I know that a lot of that is just coming from a place of hurt. So I think empathy would be the other thing I use.
Yeah. Great answer there, Jen. And people are giving you shout outs here. Your daughter's watching, Gretchen McNeil. I felt the gravity there, Jen, like you came up, we connected, there was a warmth, there was an authenticity, and there was like, hey, I'm here to help, like, hey, can I get you some, you know, whatever. So kudos to you for demonstrating that. And again, it's so nice. So many family and friends are watching. Jen, a passion of yours besides serving your community there is writing. Where did that come from? And how do you fulfill those passions of writing in the work you're doing now?
So I think I mentioned earlier, I didn't read till I was in like the sixth grade and, but I've always been a writer in my mind. Like I've always been telling stories and, crafting stories. And, I have like a whole philosophy about that, but just like super briefly, I don't feel like we teach reading right in the United States. I think we focus way too much on the reading instruction and not enough on the writing instruction because we were always writers before we were readers. Cavemen wrote on the walls before we ever had to read anything. And when I think about us as like beings that come out of the womb, we're always writing our story, right? You write your story when you play with cars or Legos, you scribble on the walls, you do all of those things. And so we are always writing our story. And I think if we focused a little bit more on teaching kids how to get their story down using all of the symbols and signs that we use in writing, it's going to be so much easier for kids to pull other people's stories off the paper. So, when I was teaching kindergarten and first grade, I really recognized that deficit that we focus so much on the teaching of the reading and not at all on the teaching of the writing. And so I flipped it in my classroom and always focused more on writing. And it was amazing how much quicker kids read. And then I taught at Western Oregon University in teacher education, go Wolves. And I taught a class teaching writing in the elementary classroom and then helped develop a class called teaching in the preschool classroom. And when I was doing that, I learned like so much about just the power of writing. I knew the power of writing and getting us to reading, but I didn't necessarily at that point understand the power of writing for healing. And so that has been like my journey, like the last 6 years. And about 90% of the things that I write, no one ever reads. And I write a lot because I send emails like all day long and text messages. And I love you too, honey. Anyway, text messages, emails. Like right now I'm writing our district's tag plan, which is a lot of writing. We write grants. We do all of that. But 90% of what I write, nobody ever reads. And I used writing to heal from my own past trauma. And I really encourage other people to do it too, because there's something that happens when you really have to slow down and articulate and get out what you're trying to say. And that picking of words is so powerful. Oftentimes, you know, we always say the only way over something is through it. And I found that by writing, we often can get through it much quicker. So, yeah.
Well said, beautifully said. And I know you have a couple children's books published, but you have some more that hopefully you're going to get out there soon.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, awesome. I do. My sister and I wrote some really great books. Can I share them?
You got the whole state of Oregon is watching.
Oh my gosh. I know. They're probably tired of them. But so the first book that my sister and I wrote, my sister Kristen Sandoz is just an amazing woman. And shout out to Chris. But she and I wrote, we're writing ourselves. We were individually writing. And we went on a little writer's retreat. And I was working on teaching writing in the elementary schools and all of that kind of stuff and recognizing just the need for books in an early education for early education teachers. And anyway, so my sister and I wrote, our very first book was called A Merriment of Children. And it's in a pattern, you know, like brown bear, what do you see? I see a little looking at me, like, or if you give a moose a muffin, that kind of stuff. So anyway, it's kind of in that same vein and it follows just this really predictable pattern. It uses lots of rich vocabulary. It has like a flip in it. So you have to turn the book the other way, which, you know, Mari Clay talks about directionality and how that comes out at a certain time when you're learning to read. So anyway, Merriment of Children is actually, we did it kind of wrong. We started with a Christmas story. So it's a Christmas story and we really tried to honor diversity. And so like we have a handicapped child who's not on the edges of the story, but in the middle. And our Santa is, you never actually see our Santa because I want you to be able to envision the Santa that is in your mind. And then we published that in Spanish because at the time I was working with a lot of teachers who wanted Spanish books. And then our second book, which is the one, we actually have 9 in this series, but this is our second one. It's called A Mess of Relatives. And I love this book because in here there's like blue-haired people and there's a tattooed person. And of course there's like a super cute dog who goes all the way through the story. But what I really love about this, my cousin Amy's family is in this book. We actually sent Amy's picture to our author because she had such a unique grouping. You know, she's got a redheaded, just like all the different colors of hair in her family. And then they adopted a baby from China and they adopted a baby from Africa. And so they never see themselves in print. They never see their family in a book. And we wanted her to have one space where she could find all of the members. This is the adults, but anyway, all the different members of her family. Yeah, it's really cool. And then we started thinking, well, that's really awesome for my cousin Amy and her kids, but it's not terribly awesome for other people whose families don't look like Amy's. So we made a coloring book version. So you can color your own. Oh, there's the flip. So you can color it to match your own family and then your family can look just like you. So I love that because I want kids to be able to see themselves in print.
I love it. Yeah. If people are interested, educators are watching for maybe for their classroom, how could they get those, Jen? Are they available?
On Amazon. Yeah. A Mess of Relatives actually got picked up by a super cute little publishing company in Newburgh called Barclay Press.
It did.
A Mess of Relatives we self-published and we have 7 others in that same vein. The thing that I think is cool about it is, you know, you build a relationship with an audience when you write a book, right? Like we all know if you give a moose a muffin, if you give a pig a pancake, all of that. So you build these relationships. And my sister Kristen and I, we have this goal of building a relationship with people so that they can trust us with harder topics. For example, I think I told you my sister Alyssa, her son Daniel died when he was just almost 9 years old. And we sat with my sister's family at the hospital when they made some really, really tough decisions. And I kept thinking, like, how do we tell my nephew this? How do we explain this to my 4-year-old nephew? And I wish that we had had a book. And so Chris and I were talking about, there's a lot of things in our life that we wait for because our book's premises are like waiting, waiting, waiting for, and then you turn the page. Anyway, so we hope to build a relationship with our readers that one day we might be able to write like waiting to visit dad or mom in prison, waiting for an organ donation or waiting for a family member to die. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of books that we could write that could support families.
Nice light topics for kids.
Nice light topics. But it's the reality of our world,
it is.
Right?
It is. And that's
what I'll tell you what. when I had to do the SEX talk with my daughter, I was horrible at it. And if it hadn't have been for American Girls, The Care and Keeping of You, I never would have made it through that. Like, it starts at the top of your head and goes to the bottom of your feet. And it just addresses everything from how your hair changes to your eyes change and all that. So having that, book saved my bacon. And that's what I want to be for other people. Like, I visited a friend in prison. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a child who had or had a dad or a mom in prison and wanting to see them, and all of the rigmarole that you have to go through. I mean, I felt guilty going into prison. So I can imagine as a kid how scary and difficult that might be. So I'd love to support people that way.
Wow. This beautiful, well, Jen, and really the talking, just, it's so beautiful to hear you, and your spirit is coming out. Jen, let's talk about you a little bit. Shout out to Marvina. Is that Marvina? Is that my
name? Yes, Marvina. Wow. She's one of my very, very best friends.
Taking it back to kindergarten, Marvina. and you're from a huge family. You and Dean have four children yourself. You have grandchildren. You know, has that helped you in your life? How has that, you know, all those siblings, big family, a lot of kids, how has that helped you in your journey as an educator?
I think the biggest thing for me is that everybody is unique and different.
Oh, yeah.
And when they are your family, even if you struggle maybe with their personality or struggle with their choices or whatever, you find a way through that because they're your family, right? And so there was this moment when I was teaching school and a woman was walking up the ramp to my classroom. And I remember physically, I was young in education, backing up against the wall and just being like, oh God, no, not her, not her, not her. Because I had heard so many horrible things about her. And I audibly heard the Lord say to me, oh, but yes, her, because I love her just like I love you. Mm. And I thought, oh. And so right there, the minute she walked in the door, I was like, I'm going to find the ground that her and I can stand commonly on. And that's where I'm going to start my connection. And you know what? What was scary about her was how passionate she was about her children and how much she loved her children. And she worked so hard to support and back her children from her place of knowing and understanding. And I could respect that. And still to this day, I love that woman. She's one of my favorite people. And I love her children. And actually, her daughter's a kindergarten teacher now. So that's awesome. But the thing about it is that having relatives and having a big family, like, and we're super, super interesting people. I feel like we're normal, but we're just so creative and colorful and amazing. That I can then apply that when I look at people in our schools and when I look at people that walk through the doors of our schools. And it used to be in my classroom, and now it's just in the doors of our school. I can look at them and be like, somebody loves them.
Mm.
They're doing the very best job they can from the knowing that they have and from the space that they live in. And I don't know their whole story, but I bet if I did, I would stand right beside them. So.
And I love how you said that, right? You find a way for your family. You find that common ground connection with people who they might think is different, right? But if you can make that connection, well said, Jen. Jen, forgiveness you wrote about as one of your successes, right? And that's beautiful in itself. Tell me about the ability to forgive yourself and how that has benefited you.
Wow. And so here, I've been 50 for 2 months now. And it's only been like in the last year that I think I really found an ability to forgive myself. It's easy for me to forgive other people. You know, like I heard the Lord say to me, like, I love her just like I love you. It was easy for me to accept why God could love her or why God could love someone else. But it's harder to accept why he could love you because you know yourself better than anyone else. I mean, you absolutely know yourself. So it was actually through journaling and writing and that I got to this space where I realized like one of my earliest places that I remember thinking about myself as being bad happened when I was 2. And when I reflected on that moment at 2 years old, I had a 2-year-old, well, just about 2 years old, granddaughter. And I thought, how is it possible? She's not bad. There's no way she could even be bad. She's so delightful. She's so adorable. She's so amazing. And then I was able to picture the two-year-old me. I could see my hands and I could see my pajamas and I could see my stuffed toys and the shag carpet. And I realized, like, I wasn't being bad. I was just being who I was made to be. And then that allowed me to start looking at myself as a seven-year-old, looking at myself as a bystander instead of an upstander in a situation that happened in fourth grade that I just really struggled to forgive myself over. And realize, you know, like, we all are doing the best we can from right where we're at. And then I was praying about it, and I was telling the Lord that I just don't, my biggest fear in dying and going to heaven is just having to be accountable for all of those mistakes that I made. And he said very audibly to me, but all of those mistakes brought you closer to me. So why would they, any of them, be bad? And when I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. Like, my, all of those things that I did growing up or in my marriage or in my friendships or with my siblings, even like when I held my sisters down, made the really long spits and then sucked them back up before they actually touched them. I know you're going to hear from my sisters about that one. Yeah, even that, that guilt later has drawn me closer to my Lord and Savior. So when I could get to that space and see myself, that's how I was able to forgive. And sometimes I still have to remind myself every day, like, you know, yesterday you weren't as old as you are today, and you learned something from that. So, yeah.
Very freeing and, you know,
absolutely.
Very cleansing. So good for you for that. Jen, you're in Oregon now, Lakeview here, and you have ties back to New York as well. What's next for you and Dean? I know Dean just had an amazing service trip himself. And what's next for you and Dean?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, Andrew. Jen has a lot of plans. I have a lot of really great ideas and a lot of things. But January, I fasted and prayed for 21 days, and the Lord asked me to stay in Lakeview for another year. So I'm staying in Lakeview for another year. I'm super excited. And I am excited to see what he's going to do here. And then I will be eligible for retirement in just about 4 years. And I don't know what God has for me, honestly. I've got some great ideas, but oftentimes that's not the way that it goes. So I'm excited. I'm willing to do whatever. So yeah, I know Dean will officially retire in September, finally, from the fire department. But I don't think he'll really retire. Like, he's obviously going to do something more. And he may end up here in Lakeview with me, but he may stay up in the valley of Oregon, which has been super hard for me. Like, I have always been around lots of people. I've always had lots and lots and lots of people around me. Yeah. So here in Lakeview, I actually live in a house by myself, which I've never done at all ever in my whole life. In fact, it wasn't until January when I got a dog that I was able to sleep through the night because there were no noises here. I don't know how to make a meal for one person, but I'm learning all of that. So
that sounded like an invitation to dinner.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, I hear you're coming to Lakeview.
We are. I'll bring my sweatshirt here. August 25th. I'm excited.
Yeah. We're going to have you here. I'm super excited.
Well, along those lines, you know, my message of surviving and thriving, right? You've heard it. You've been there. You've been part of it. If you had to pick one action, Jen, one behavior, one word, one mindset, surviving, blank, thriving. What would that be for you, Jen?
Surviving, blank, thriving. Wow, Andrew, you know, the importance of selecting a word. It's a really big deal. Like, the centering in on one.
Oh. You could come back to it if you want.
This line earlier this week that it was like the difference in choosing a word, the power of choosing a word is the difference between lightning bug and lightning.
Mm.
So,
We'll come back to it. The chat is there, Jen, and we'll take it to the chat for you. Jen, what was something that you wanted to talk about that I did not ask you?
Gosh, I don't know. What all? We talked about a lot of stuff.
We have, and your family and friends have been so supportive here. And it's great to see so many people watching live. It shows a real community around you of support and love. But I know you're doing great work there in Lakeview. Was there anything else you wanted to share before we get to rapid fire?
Oh, rapid fire. I'm actually kind of excited about that rapid fire. It was a lot of fun to stop and think about those things. Yeah. So we could just do rapid fire.
Let's roll. I do want to give a shout out to your Lakeview school community. It was beautiful to be there. Last year, your superintendent, Mr. Carter,
and
so many of the people watching in Tandilin, you know, I go into places like Lakeview as a stranger and come out, you know, with hugs and sweatshirts and friends. And it's just really beautiful to make the connections. And you were part of that there, Jen. So I appreciate that. We took the walk together.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful day there. So. All right, Jen, this is rapid fire. This is, you know, the first answer that comes to your mind. If it doesn't come, you give me a pass. But these are quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Last book you read?
The last book I read was A Tale of Three Kings. That's the last one I finished. I'm in the middle of Redwall with my grandson. I call him every night on the phone.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Last movie you saw?
It had Reese Witherspoon and Ashton is a Your Place or Mine. And you know, I think that's what it's called. I don't watch a lot of TV, Andrew. But did you know in that show, Glory, correct me if I was wrong on those people, but she wears a shirt from Oregon. I'm not even kidding you. It was so cool. It was really cool. Anyway.
Did it say she flies with her own wings?
No, it didn't. It was the shape of Oregon and yeah, anyway. And you know, like, wasn't she also in the movie Wild or something like that, where she walked the Pacific Coast Trail that also goes through Oregon? So I gotta look into it. Is Reese Witherspoon in Oregon and I just don't know about it? My daughter Glory will figure that out. She's good at stuff.
Like your favorite dish?
Dessert, always dessert. Any kind of dessert.
Something sweet. You've traveled all over, you've lived so many places. Give me your two top favorites. Two.
Any place that I can be with my family.
Aww.
I know, I'm serious. Like, I went to Australia with 29 high school students for 21 days. And I cried almost every day because I wasn't sharing this amazing experience with people that I love. So, Dean and I are married 30 years this summer. And we're trying to pick our little place to go. And I think we're settling in on Italy because we've heard a lot of good things about that place. So I'm excited.
Forget about it. I want to talk to you and Dean. I'll send you to a special spot. I lived there for a year.
Oh, did you really? Okay, yeah, that'd be really helpful.
We'll connect.
It's such a big decision that we've struggled trying to decide where to go. But anyway.
You got a good selection there. One thing you love about Oregon.
How green it is. Oh, no. The one thing I really love is how I can be at, like, we have the Coast Range. We have the Valley of Oregon. We have these huge mountains. Like, you people on the East Coast don't know what mountains look like. These things are huge, the huge mountains in the middle. And then we have the high desert. So we have these four really distinct regions, and it's so beautiful. Where our house is at in Amity, we're right in the heart of wine country right there, but I can get an hour to the beach, an hour to the mountains. Out here, I'm in the high desert, which is also beautiful.
Well, Marvina said it was her that you love. What is one thing about Oregon that drives you crazy?
How far I am away from Marvina and Dean and Glory and Blaze and Bexon and Jeremy and Ashley and Addie and Harper and Paisley and Madison and Jesse and Alex are in New York. But that's what makes me so crazy, is how far away I am from my family and my cousin Amy.
Well, you will be reunited at some point. You are serving, as you said, now service leadership, moving so much, as you had mentioned earlier. Did that help you or hinder you in your life?
Actually, this is really an important thing to note too. It has helped me in a lot of ways, but it's also hindered me in some ways too. I am super good at moving into a place and just owning that space and finding my patterns and my ways through it. But I've typically done that with people. This time I did it by myself. So the other thing is, I am not good at saying goodbye to people because that hurts really deeply. So when Dean and I were young married, I had this habit of like picking fights with people right before I moved away from them, because then they were just jerks and I didn't need to be friends with them anymore. And my husband really challenged me to rise up and figure out how to leave places like an adult. And so now I have this huge, robust connection of people that I just love and that love me and that I still support. And so, yeah, good growth there, good growth. And it's awesome to have people in your life who will call you out on your BS. Yeah.
One thing that Dean Schultz will makes fun of you about, and since the whole state of Oregon is watching, feel free to, you know, things you tease Jen Schultz about in the chat here. But one thing Dean makes fun of you about.
I have to only share appropriate ones. So
this is a PG-13 show.
It is PG-13 show. And yeah. Also, we've been married for 30 years. And so the things that we make fun of each other about now are really just like from a place of love. So I want to clarify that. Because like when we were younger married and he would make fun of me, it hurt so bad. But it doesn't anymore. So he sometimes calls me Captain Obvious because I point out the obvious things to him.
Sounds like a compliment to me.
Yeah. So except the way that he does it, but like, we'll be driving and I'll be like, oh, like, look at that lady and the baby on the side of the road. Be sure you're paying attention. Cause you know, Dean, he's like talking all the time. His eyes are going everywhere and he's doing all this stuff. And I'm just trying to make sure people and their babies don't get run over. And he's like, oh, okay, Captain Obvious. Like, I see the lady right there. And then the other one is I like to follow rules. And so speed limits are rules and I like to follow them. And that drives him nuts because oftentimes we drive across the state following each other. And if he was a good Boy Scout, he would know that the slowest person needs to go first, not the fastest one. So we do have a lot of.
he's in the chat. That's a start. that's funny. Jen, how about a pet peeve? You shared a lot of passions of yours. What's a pet peeve of yours?
I try to keep this under wraps, but people know this about me. I like clutter. It's so hard for me to think in clutter. And I don't like to cause trauma for other people. So I'll tolerate it until I just like can't. until I just can't anymore. And so, I really like, sometimes I'll clean up like while my husband is trying to make his cereal. So I'll put his bowl away and he comes back to pour the cereal and the bowl is gone. So clutter is difficult, but you know, what's cool is when you live by yourself, it's just until Dean comes and then he clutters everything. So
I won't move my computer to show you my desk to the left and right. So, but I might need your help here. Jen, share a recent victory of yours.
Ah, I just turned 50 and my sister-in-law, woo! Susie, yes, my sister-in-law Susie challenged me to a 50 by 50. And that's where you do 50 things before you turn 50 years old.
Yeah.
And so she said to me, Jen, really think about it because you're going to have to do this for the whole 49th year of your life. And so I really, you know, I'm going to get serious about it and introspective. So I decided that with the history of mental illness and stuff in our family, that when I get older, if my memory goes, I really want some good stuff in there. So I memorized 50 Bible verses by the time I turned 50 years old. And I just accomplished that. And it feels really, really good. And so now I'm hopeful that when I'm older and I start to say strange stuff, it's just going to be the word of God that comes out of my mouth instead of other
Give
stuff.
Me one of your favorites that you memorized.
Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You lead me with your, wisdom to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. Though my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Psalm 76, 23, 26. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, it is beautiful. A good one. And I sometimes have to say it a lot during the day.
Yeah. At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
Free, because I don't live with anyone anymore. I can do whatever I want. I can have whatever I want for breakfast. I can go for a long walk or a short walk. I feel really free on Saturday mornings. It's a weird Beautiful. Feeling.
Beautiful. Best takeaway from this show for our guests.
You know what I love, Andrew, is just how we can connect all the way across the continent.
Yeah.
Like you are all the way over on the East Coast and I am all the way over close to the West Coast, not quite all the way there. And we can connect and talk about our passions and hopefully inspire and support people. Yeah.
Beautiful answer. One thing you're curious about, Jen Schultz.
When are you guys going to move to Oregon? Your wife, Jen.
She loves it. I was hoping she'd come up and say hello here.
Your wife, Jen, lives in Oregon.
I got to tell you, the trip down from Salishan down to, where were we? Newport?
Newport.
Mm-hmm. That got our attention.
Yeah, isn't it beautiful?
We didn't make it to Florence and Reedsport, but man, what a trip down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got our attention. Beautiful. Something about Jen Schultz that people do not know about.
I think my mom's watching, but I'm going to say this anyway. I don't like my name. Yeah, Jen, I share it with a lot of women. I share it with your wife. And so I've really been grappling with that for a long time. I'm excited about the day that God gives me a new name. Mom, no offense at all. I just share it with so many people. But the other day, I was thinking about this name, Jennifer. And did you ever read Neil Gaiman's book, The Graveyard Book? Did you ever read that? No. So good. It's so good. But in there, the bad guys are called the Jacks, like Jack the Ripper, Jack Be Nimble, Jack of all trades, like all the Jacks, they're the bad guys. And so I was thinking about that and I was like, you know what? I just need to change my perspective in the way I think about Jen and Jennifer and Jenny and all of that. And so I created on Facebook and you can join it if your name is Jen or any derivative thereof. it's called the Society of Jennifers. And we are, you have to be a good Jennifer to be in the society because unlike the Society of Jack, we are good people. And, yeah, it's really cool. We get to share like things that are unique to being Jennifer, like situations that only happen when you're a Jennifer. So, yeah. Well,
from one writer to another, that's a cool book title, Jen.
Okay.
Maybe there's your idea and you could brew it out of Facebook, Society of Jennifer.
And tell your wife to look me up and to join the Society of Jennifer.
She's not a Facebooker. I'm lucky if she answers me, you know. But. Hey, Jen, we are way over our time limit of 40 minutes, but you had a lot to say. We have a lot of great audience. Before we go, Jen, how about a quote to end the show here? This was fantastic.
Okay, so there was once a man on his deathbed who said, "I have lived a horrible life and most of it never happened."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Bam. You mic dropping with that?
Yep, that's it.
This is Jen Schultz, everyone. Her beautiful family. Thank you for sharing her for an hour. She made the presentation there when I was with her a couple times. Fantastic. Jen, you are an original soul, a beautiful person. I appreciate you coming on Education, Leadership, and Beyond. Any last shout outs to your family?
Good gravy. Aren't they amazing? Like, look at all those people in the chat.
Yeah. My goodness.
This is awesome. So hi, Gloria, Marvina and Kristen and my cousin, Amy, my daughter, Glory, my husband, Dean. And I was trying not to look at that chat the whole time because it was. So if you're out there and I know you, I love you. You know, I love you. Gretchen, I love you too.
And the chat will be there so you can revisit it, Jen, and answer people. So guys, check out, if you're in Oregon, check out Lakeview Schools. They're doing great things. Again, shout out to Michael Carter. This was show number 244. Jen, it was an honor to have you on. I wish you the best on your journey. Nice to connect.
All right. And I'll see you in Lakeview in August.
Not too far. Jen, stay on the line a little bit. We're going to sign off here on show number 244, everyone. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter. Keep rolling, friends. Keep surviving and thriving.